Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today's gospel text is from the gospel reading from St. Matthew chapter 13 you heard me read just minutes ago. Part of historic education, and in many places it still continues as today, is to read great novels by American authors. One of those authors I remember reading about in high school was John Steinbeck. Name might be familiar to some of you because he also wrote that great novel, The Grapes of Wrath, which was later made into a film. But he also wrote many short stories. And perhaps the saddest of all his short stories is the one called The Pearl. And I thought that kind of fit in with today's text message. The story of The Pearl is a fictional account about a poor Mexican by the name of Kino. And this man provides a very meager living for his wife and his single child by diving deep down into the ocean bottom, holding his breath and bringing up pearls, which he later sells in a market. And then it seems one day on a deep dive to the ocean depths, he finds this one pearl. The pearl of a lifetime, you could say. It's beautiful. It's as large as a golf ball. It's perfectly formed, and the luster is just beyond imagination and beauty. Unfortunately, this singular pearl the man had been searching for all his life didn't bring him or his family the happiness he had long hoped for. In this short story, author Steinbeck shows us the sinful human nature that exists in all mankind as he writes that suddenly everyone in the village seemed related to Kino, who had found this glorious and valuable pearl. The villagers themselves dreamed of possessing this pearl themselves. They speculated what it would be like if it were theirs. Some of them even schemed that they might somehow possess it, take it away. The point is, that pearl became the center of the village's lust and jealousy. And in the end, sadly to say, Kino's neighbors, people, men and women who were once his friends, burn down his home and slay his only child. All so that they themselves might possess this beautiful pearl. Well, after the many trials and tribulations, Kino assumes that this pearl has only brought him bad luck, that the pearl itself might be evil, so he goes to a high cliff on the edge of the ocean. He swings back his arm, and with all his strength, he throws that pearl back into the ocean, hoping that it's never found again by anyone. Now, this is indeed a sad story, but it does give us a look, a close look, at the darker side of human nature. And I think it's a reminder for us this morning of the two parables that Jesus talks about. Parables that very well could cause us to ask ourselves this question: what do I treasure most in my life? So, how might one interpret these two parables? Well, one legitimate way would be to see the man who finds the treasure in the field and in the marketplace, who finds the priceless pearl, is none other than Jesus Christ. With the treasure and the pearl representing you and me. In fact, so much does our Lord love us that for the joy of it, He himself was willing to sacrifice everything, even his own life, so that he could give us free of charge the salvation and eternal life that we could never obtain for ourselves. But now, perhaps, a more traditional interpretation of these parables today sees both the treasure and the pearl referring to our salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and for my sins, who shed his own precious blood as a payment demanded by a righteous God, a payment you and I could never make ourselves. A Savior who by his suffering and death restored a right relationship between you and I and our Heavenly Father, much like Scripture describes to us when it says, there is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This salvation that Jesus won for us is the priceless treasure. This is the fine pearl of which Jesus tells us about in his parables today. So, how do we obtain this priceless treasure? Do we search for it? Do we look for it? You know, there are some people who find this priceless treasure accidentally. They didn't go out that morning looking for the treasure. Remember the Samaritan woman at the well? She went to fill a jar up with water. And she met Jesus at the well, who explained her whole life to her. But she left that well not with water to drink and to bathe with, but with living water. Remember Zacchaeus? The little man who was hearing about Jesus. In fact, he was so curious about Jesus Christ and that he could hear him, he found to seek out an advantage spot and he climbed up into a tree. He became curious, but he went home satisfied as our Lord joined him and said, today salvation has come unto your home. And who amongst us could forget Saul? Saul, who persecuted the New Testament Christian church. But on the road to Damascus, his heart was changed when he saw a brilliant light and the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke to him. And then Saul turned from a persecutor of the church into Paul, a pillar of Christ's church. And then there are others who find this priceless treasure without looking for it, or knowing that they even want it. Those people, some of them might come to church for no other reason than to please a nagging relative. They come to church to attend the funeral or a wedding of a friend or a family member. Or perhaps they come to church because they've heard rumors in the community they live. They're curious about the pastor who is preaching the word of God to his congregation. They're curious about the building. They're curious about the people sitting in the words who listen so attentively on Sunday mornings. But whatever the reason, they are in God's house. And when they are there, something happens to them as they hear the powerful word of God proclaimed. And hearing that word, the Holy Spirit uses that word to work faith in their hearts. That some who came once uninterested may leave that day with a spark of faith in their hearts. Still, other people find a priceless treasure, having diligently searched for it, such as the parable Jesus tells about the merchant, who searched all his life in the marketplaces until he found this one precious to him pearl. Something so precious he was willing to give up all he had to possess it. Kind of sounds, if we remember, like Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish council in Jerusalem, who came to Jesus in the middle of the night because he was troubled about what the people were saying and what Jesus was saying. He came confused, but went home comforted in the words of Christ. Or we might look to the Ethiopian eunuch who sat on the back of his chariot reading the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah concerning the coming Jesus Christ. He didn't understand the meaning of those prophecies concerning the Savior until God sent Philip to him to teach him and ultimately baptize him in the Lord. You know, today there are many, many people lost who are searching for the meaning of life. And the last question is like, why am I here? Who am I? What's my purpose? What's going to happen to me when I die? You know, those people are hungry to learn how they can be saved. Yet sadly, far too many of them will join cults and other religions, believing that by being obedient, by doing good works, they will somehow find the treasure they are out seeking in this life. They come having delusions about what is most important in life. But then, miraculously, some of them too will find the priceless treasure to be Jesus Christ, who suffered death and was raised to life for our life's sins. And then they too can find great joy. They begin to see the Holy Spirit working faith in their hearts. They understand that it is their Heavenly Father who loves them so much that it is He alone who plants the seed of the treasure of salvation into their hearts. They understand that our Heavenly Father loves them. And He does that through the water of holy baptism. He does that through nurturing it with His powerful word. He does it through strengthening the person in Holy Communion until that person comes to find and believe in the priceless treasure. Now the man, the one who found the treasure in the field, he wasn't content to only admire that treasure, but he had to dig it up. He wasn't satisfied with the beauty of the pearl, for neither rested until the treasure became their own special possession, until it was theirs. And both of them that Jesus talks about in the parable today, they did what was necessary to acquire the priceless treasure, therefore make it their own. So maybe we should ask this question of ourselves. Are we willing to sell all that we have to acquire this priceless possession? Now, we should know this. We don't literally reach into our pocket or our purse and take out some cash or a debit card to buy this treasure. Because we all know there's no way possible to buy our own salvation or to earn it. For salvation was won on the cross for sinners like you and like me. For them, for us, Jesus suffered and died. You know, something else is very interesting in Scripture. That when the Bible talks about buying in a spiritual sense, it refers to buying without money. No silver, no gold, no cash, no debit cards. No money changes hand, and yet the item we seek becomes ours. You know, God spoke through his prophet Isaiah, saying, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come and buy and eat." My dear brothers and sisters and children in Christ Jesus our Lord, you see, according to God's economy, buying it means it is free. Free because it's God's pure and simple grace. Free because it is his undeserved love shown to us and given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. But we shouldn't be disillusioned, making this priceless treasure our own. For some of us, seeking that treasure and making it our own might mean sacrificing. It might mean rearranging our lives a little bit, rearranging our priorities quite a bit. The man in the field and the merchant joyfully sold all that they had in order to make that treasure their own possession. And not once does Jesus say they regretted selling all that they had in order to possess it. These two men didn't go around complaining about, "Oh, I made such a great sacrifice to get and possess this item." They didn't pity themselves. They didn't complain about giving away all they own and selling. Instead, they gave much and received so much more. And their pain of giving was swallowed up in their joy of receiving from God. You and I, we too give Christ our service. Don't we? We give him our obedience, our devotion, even our money. All done in love for him through faith in Christ Jesus. And we offer these things to God because he has given us so much more, free, with no strings attached whatsoever. And what some of those things that God has indeed gifted us with? Our salvation. Free pardon of all our sins. Peace of heart. Peace of mind. He has given us hope of eternal life. And he has given us confidence that in Christ's resurrection, he has gained us an eternal home in heaven that we can possess and call our own. Oh, my friends, what treasures we have received from our gracious God. And when it comes to treasures, may we all have the attitude of St. Paul when he writes, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ Jesus." Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our risen and saving Lord. Amen. Amen.